Book of Daniel, not a hard one to find, not really. I just thumbed through there till I see the name, then I know right where it's at. It's in there anyway, trust me. If you get to Matthew, you need to back up. You done made it too far. Daniel chapter 1, I was thinking on this the other day, and somebody I know mentioned this to me, and it is that time of year, that time of season, that people kind of get depressed and things going on in their lives. But when we do that, we need to, really and truly, you need to turn to the Bible. Because there was people in there that went through a lot, and we don't always know all of what they went through. A lot of it, we do a lot of guessing, a lot of guesswork with it, because, you know, it didn't tell us every little thing, but it did tell us enough to have an idea. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding, science and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. And among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. Sounds good. Azariah. Under the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to, I'm going to say that's Mishael, of Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego, or as Kyle would have said, in a bistro. So I want you to get the picture here, and I know I've went over some of this before, but this time of the year, people do get depressed. You got to look at Daniel. Look at his three buddies there. And you ask yourself, how depressed do you think he was? You know, how depressed do you think these guys were? They were taken out of their homeland, taken away from all the food that they normally eat, all the stuff that they normally drink, taken away from their parents, more than likely, and it doesn't say that, but more than likely were made eunuchs. If you need to know what that is later, come and talk to me. So you got to figure they were pretty depressed. They were pretty bummed out. And not to mention they were lonely. You know, loneliness is something that sets in on the holiday seasons, because you're missing your loved ones, whatever, wherever they may be. They may be out of town. They may be across the entire U.S. It may be in a different country, and then again, it may be in heaven. But nonetheless, it's a lonely thing that goes on. There's help for us in the Word of God, especially in times of trouble, in times of need, in times of depression, in times of loneliness. There is help in the Word, and we got to go to it for our strength and our faith. And Daniel's a perfect picture of that because of what he sought his entire, basically his entire life. You know, you read about Daniel, he was probably 13 to 15 here, somewhere in that area, maybe 16 or so. You know, he never went home. He stayed in Babylon the rest of his entire days, as far as we know. When he got through in the lion's den, of course, we always thought he was a little kid, you know. And you see pictures of the little kid in the lion's den. Really, he was probably about 80. You know, he was an old guy when he got thrown down in there. And I don't know, he might have thought like Miss Betty. Go ahead and eat me. You know, that could have been the way he was thinking. So I picked on her. She ain't here tonight. I think she was asleep. She'll do that. But anyway, he spent his entire life away from all of his loved ones. I don't know if he ever saw his mom and dad again. It doesn't mention it. I would venture to guess he may not have. Then again, they may have lived right there in the same palace with him. I don't really know. But nonetheless, he had to get a new look. You know, you imagine, and I went through this one time, I think, talking. You figure it was several days on the road. I think they probably tried to treat them fair because of what the king was wanting out of these guys. But nonetheless, they're taken captive and they're hauled away. And the closest I can come to it, I was in Belize for a little bit. You know what I've done for a good double bacon cheeseburger? But you just don't eat them there. If you could even find one, I just ain't sure I would have ate it there. They like a lot of yard bird. They into yard bird. Yard bird's okay, but every day, no. Before long, folks walking around wanting to peck for worms or something. You know, you eat too much chicken, it'll affect you. But you know, I can imagine he was probably wanting some kind of Jerusalem or something. Instead, they're going to offer him Babylonian sausage. He ain't supposed to eat sausage. That's in his heart and mind. He was raised that way. You don't eat that. I know people that'll fight you over putting ketchup over it on a hot dog. Listen, you don't have a hot dog without mustard, mayonnaise, ketchup, pickle, relish, and onions. But they spoke to eat a hot dog, imagine, without ketchup. Yeah, you got to have ketchup on. And some people don't eat ketchup on steaks. They don't eat ketchup on hamburgers. Or on their brisket. There's something wrong with that. But, you know, he was probably desiring, now I don't need ketchup on my pheasant. I like pheasant without ketchup. But he was probably desiring some of his food. Plus, he wasn't supposed to be drinking wine, especially from some pagan king like Nebuchadnezzar. But that's what they were offering him. So you gotta look at him. So in verse 8 he said, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat." He looked immediately. He said, "I'm not going to defile myself. I'm not going to put myself under this kind of stuff." You got to get a whole new outlook on life. When you get depressed, you need to start looking at what we need to do. What do we need to do to help us in our situation? Look over here at chapter 2. Verse 28, it's just a little phrase, because I'm not going to go through all of what all took place in Daniel's life. But verse 28, He said, but there is a God in heaven. See, we need to remember that. Anytime we're lonely, anytime we're depressed, we need to remember, listen, there's a God in heaven. There's a God in heaven that will reach out and give me strength if I need it. Matter of fact, he says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's in Hebrews 13:5 maybe, or 13:8. He's there. The same Jesus that was there with Daniel is that he walked through the fire with the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't doubt he was probably down in the lion's den holding the lion's mouth shut. He was there with Daniel. Well, he's there with us. Whenever we get depressed or whenever we get lonely, we need to remember, hey, he's right there. There is a God in heaven who is there for us when we need him. And to me, that's comforting, because there's times that I get all bummed out. I start getting all bent out of shape. And I'm like, really? You know, this goes this way, that goes that way. And I'm thinking, no. And you get depressed and you get lonely. And this time of the year, it's kind of like, well, I'd like to be with my grandbabies. You know, I got to tell you, the other day, Riley, we're on the phone with Jimmy. Riley had something. Jimmy said, where'd you get that? Pepe gave it to me. Well, Pepe, it's cool. Pepe gave it to me. Well, where'd she get it? From the dump. What do you mean from the dump? She drove up there and got it. Pepe's what, six? Pepe's five. She drove to the dump and got The dump's not far from their house, and they go there a lot. They all love it. Anyway, it is amazing, but I'd like to be with them. And you get that depression. Then my little Indian grandbaby over in Denver, she'll text me, and she'll say, good morning, Pops. I'm like, huh, it's 6:30. What'd you wake me up for? I usually text her back, good morning, Anaya. You know, you get that kind of feeling, you'd like to be with them. And, but we got to strengthen ourselves. And the way we do that is remember there's a God in heaven. Now, we won't strengthen faith. You see, finish part of that verse, but there is a God in heaven, verse 28, that, what's he doing? Revealeth secrets. You know, think about something. What do you know in the future that there's a lot of people out here don't know? We know there's a rapture coming. We know that all things are going to get better eventually. We're going to leave all this mess behind. We're not going to have to listen to Sean Hannity. That's shocking. And it was the same thing he said last night, he just reworded it. You know, we're not going to have to listen to all of that. We're not going to have to hear about shootings. All that's going to be said and done. He revealeth these secrets to us. You see, there's a coming rapture. John 14, matter of fact, I think it was, I don't know if it's Thomas or Philip. He says, we don't know where you're going. How are we going to go with you? Yeah, you do. If you know me, you're going to be where I'm going to be. He told them he was coming back. Over in Thessalonians, he tells all about the rapture. The dead in Christ is going to rise first and get a 6-foot head start. And then we all go up and we're changed in a millisecond of an eye. And we're going to have a perfect body. I don't need these things. Irritating. I got these little dips in my nose now. You know, we ain't going to have that. So we got a lot that gives us the strength and faith that we really need to carry on. Listen, God reveals secrets to all of His children. We're not children of the dark. We're children of the light. Let's go look at First Thessalonians 5:5. So it's good to see the Bible that says that. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians. And verse 5. He said, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We're not of the night, nor of darkness. We're not left blind like some of these people. We actually have a confident hope that eventually we're going to be out of here. And I know where I'm going, but I've got loved ones that's already gone, and I have that hope, that confident hope in God that, guess what? One of these days I'm going to be there with them. It's just there's a short period here that I can't be around my grandmother. She thought the sun rose and set with me. My dad's mom, I could do no wrong. You ask my wife. Was a couple times. But she passed on and went. And I'm like, well, you know, I like it because, well, she'd give good hugs. And she always smelled like juicy fruit gum. Somebody asked me what kind of perfume she wore. Juicy fruit. That's what it was. Anytime I got around my grandmother, you got any gum, Grandma? Yeah. Juicy fruit. And she should have bought stock in that. But anyway. But listen, I get to be with her one day. And that's the way we've got to see these things. That gives us strength and courage in our life to back up and say, hey, why should I feel so bad? Why should I be depressed? Why should I be lonely? I've got Jesus. But not only that, I'm going to be back with the ones I miss anyway. And Lord help us. Sandy said something the other day about she missed doing something for her dad. And I like, yeah, but would you want to bring him out of heaven and do it again? Well, no, I wouldn't want to do that. No. Listen, they're having a ball up there. They're having a good time. They're not hurting anymore. They don't have the problems that we've got. You know, I still wonder from year to year, I'm supposed to go see my heart doctor here in about a month. I'm going to cancel that. I ain't interested in going right now. I'm going to give it a... But I like going to him once a year. And I like the guy. And I tell him, see you next year, no offense, but I don't want to see you between now and then. Because if I do, that's normally just something wrong. But I'm not a big... They don't have to worry about that. Listen, they got it made. You see, we were in the dark at one time. According to Ephesians 5:8, we were walking in the dark. But now all of a sudden, listen, we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and there's a light bulb come on in there, and it's like, oh, I may not know everything in the Bible. I may not understand all the prophecy of the Bible, but I do know that one day Jesus is coming to get me, and I'm going home. This is just a temporary place. Well, yeah, but I like it here. Well, that's true, but you're going to love it up there. It's going to be a whole lot different. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. chapter 2. It's going to go. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. See, there's a lot of times that we in our life, and I'm going to use myself, I got saved when I was 24. But I didn't dig in the Word of God. Wasn't no big issue. I knew I was going to heaven. I'd go to church, made sure my kids were in church, but I didn't learn a lot of stuff. I didn't have that. I was busy letting the world fill my mind with nothing but problems. And I'm like, where is all the love and the peace and the joy I get that I get that I see all these other Christians with? Used to be an old guy that lived across the street from Sandy. And he's probably one of the nicest guys I ever met. Name was Mr. Garrett. Well, actually, we called him Brother Garrett. He was a preacher at the Nazarene Church down the road somewhere. But he was the nicest fella, and he's always just smiling. It didn't matter what was going on. Didn't matter what kind of weather it was. He was just smiling. And any time I'd see him, he'd say, "Boys, how you doing today?" And he's just smiling. And I'm like, where is that with me? But you know what I figured out? Because I wasn't digging in my treasure box and pulling out little nuggets here and there, I wasn't getting it. I was filling my mind with whatever filth they had on the radio. I didn't have the luxury of these where you look them all up. I was filling my mind with all of this junk instead of filling it with this. And it would have been giving me the joy in my heart that I needed. When I look at our kids today, what do? They sit around on these phones or on a computer and they pull up garbage. And they sit there and they look at all of that and they think that's the way the world's supposed to operate. It ain't. This is the way the world's supposed to operate. And if you want to get happiness and joy about being saved and I'm going to go to heaven, it's right here. I've dug enough in here because I got tired of wondering about it. I'm like, now when I get to heaven, what am I going to do? Am I going to sit on a cloud? Sit up there and just watch? Am I going to be on my hands and knees all day and all night for the next 50,000 years praising God? No. It's actually not going to be that way. When you study the Word of God, you find out that the Garden of Eden was God's paradise. Guess where we're going to be? We're going to be in God's paradise. Now, I don't know where we're going to be at, but it's going to be kind of like the Garden of Eden, I'd say. It's going to have trees and grass. It's going to be a new heaven and new earth. What do you think the earth's going to be like? They didn't get the ball floating out of space. We're going to sit up there in heaven and say, "Ain't it good?" No, we're going to be able to go down there and cruise around on it. I ain't going to need a car because I'm thinking about being somewhere and I'll be there. So I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to have a whatever kind of glorified body he had. He can walk through the wall, sit down and eat fish. Maybe not. But listen, I'm going to be able to I think I'll go to the mountains today. There I am. Listen, you know, I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, what are we going to do with the new earth? We're just going to, like I said, sit there and look at it and say, isn't it? No, we're going to be able to utilize that. So it's going to be like God intended for it to be. All you got to do is look right here in the Word of God. He intended for it to be like the Garden of Eden. That was what it was supposed to be like. And when sin entered into their hearts, he brought them out of the Garden of Eden. You know, I hear all these people, they'll talk about that. Well, I just don't know what we're going to be doing. Why not? They got a street of gold. By the way, it's on one street, according to the Bible. It's a street of gold up there in heaven. Listen, you ever walked on gold? That'd be kind of cool. Transparent gold walk up there. Ain't falling through. You know, I don't know. I look at heaven as it's got to be a whole lot better than where we're at. Because where we're at, I better go. Now, if we're born again, we can overcome the depression. We can overcome the loneliness. We can get strength
Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, we get the strength we need. If we truly know the Lord Jesus as our Savior and we're willing to reach out and ask the Lord to help us. And I've been studying on all of this prophecy. You know, I do a lot of reading on prophecy. I used to think, you shouldn't do that. But actually, we should. Because the more I learn about prophecy, the more I realize I need to be a light for people out there. They don't need to be here when all of that mess happens. It's not going to be a good place to be. And how do I know I'm not going to be there? God reveals secrets. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, He ain't appointed the church for wrath. We're not appointed for the wrath of God. We're going to be out of here. That's going to be good. I ain't got to go through all that. Now, it's not going to be good for those that are left. The tribulation period is not going to be any fun at all. I don't know how to emphasize it any more than to say, you know what? If we'll just depend on the Lord, have the same faith in Him in our daily walk as we had to get saved, we'll be okay. Are you still... I had a lady text me, and I won't say her name. She's not here, but some of you know her. But she texted me, and she said, I just need some extra prayers. So she's missing her husband. She's missing her other loved ones and this time of year. And she said, I know that people tell me that you just need to depend on the Lord more. You need to get it together. I'm going to be honest with you. And I was honest with her. I said, listen. I said, if you did not miss that person, if you wasn't upset over that, I'd think something's wrong. Apparently, you didn't love them as much as everybody thought. Listen, we're supposed to miss our loved ones. We really are. We're supposed to miss them. And yeah, there's an empty place that anybody in this room can fill with my grandmother. It's not possible. Miss Betty's a special woman to me, but she can't fill that place where my grandmother was. Sandy's dad, there's people in here that Sandy's close to and other people. But look, it ain't going to take the place of her dad. That's just the way it works. Brother Phil's gone and Sister Linda's gone. Nobody's going to take that place. And it's okay to feel that way. But we just have to ask the Lord to help us stay strong and realize, think about where she's at. What she's doing, what he's doing. That's what we do. We think about what they're doing. And then ask yourself, would you want to bring them back? No. Oh, you got that flesh inside of you. No, when you really think about it, I don't want to bring anybody back to this mess. I really think that's why Jesus cried when he walked up there and he was going to bring Lazarus up out of the grave. I really think it said Jesus wept. Yeah, he was watching them and he felt bad for them. But really, I think he was thinking, man, I have to bring this guy out of paradise back to this. Because look, it wasn't very long after that. They were out. They were seeking a way to kill Jesus and Lazarus. He's already died once. Which is kind of funny. What are they going to do to him?
Yeah.
You done been dead once. Go ahead. I watched a movie, and then I'll quit. I watched a movie. I think you guys watched the movie. It was about Luke writing Acts and Paul. Or maybe, no. It's the Risen show. It's not quite biblical, but it did follow pretty good. It's a pretty good show to watch. It's called Risen. Well, they were trying to find the body of Jesus.
They bring them in there, this Roman soldier, and they're pushing him. You got to find this body. We want it now. They ain't gonna find. They started interviewing all these guys. They get one of the apostles in there. He said, look, he said, if you don't tell me where it's at, I'm going to kill you. Oh, go ahead. And he's looking at him like, what? Go ahead. Take my life. Hurry. You know, he was ready to go. Really and truly, that's the kind of attitude we ought to have. Well, hey, what are these people down here going to do? Nothing. That's the kind of attitude Lazarus had was, look, I done been dead and went to heaven. What you going to do to me now? We just got to get that same look at it and say, look, I know what is waiting on me is a whole lot better than this. Go ahead. What have I got to lose? Nothing. But if we're not saved, we got everything to lose. We got loved ones that, listen, they got an eternity to lose. We need to make sure, and I'm sure we have, but every opportunity we get, we ought to make sure they realize what Christ has done in our life. But I'm going to tell you what will speak to them quicker than anything else. It ain't you telling them. It's you living it. Let's stand, Sister Diane, if you'll come up. Brother Ryan, come up here and pick us out a song for tonight.